be seated.
Amen. Good singing. Our desire as a church is to be faithful in missions here in our home, Jackson County, and beyond. And I'm thankful for the Allen family that had partnered together with this church. They were just talking about it in the foyer, and it's probably been close to 35 years, 30 to 35 years that they have been serving, at least that we've been supporting them while they have been serving in Brazil. And that's a lot of years, folks. That is faithfulness on their part. Thank God for them and what the Lord's been doing. And they were with us. Those of you that were members here will remember our missions conference in 2021. I believe I'm right. They were here reporting once again. Well, they've been back because they were just getting ready to go back to the field then. And so they have been serving these past 5 years. And serving God faithfully. And the way those of you that are just learning missions, if you will, and how missionaries work with local churches, typically the missionary will come home, what we call furlough, after being on the field for around 4 years. Sometimes they'll stay a little shorter and then not spend as much time on their furlough. But nevertheless, anywhere from 2 to 4 years, they come back to the States and they'll report in churches like ours. And they just share what God is doing and how God has helped them and blessed them, even through trials and tribulations. Sometimes we forget that as God's people. You know, we go through a lot of difficult times in our life and different things. Well, they do too. Sometimes it's family, sometimes it's church members, sometimes it's just government, sometimes it's just the devil, spiritual warfare. Hey, it just happens. But they stay faithful and keep serving. And I'm thankful we as a church can get behind them and support them. And so thank you, brother, for being here. James and Soraya and Frank, thank you all for being here. What a blessing that is. So, James, would you come and just give us a report, brother? And also after that, we may open up for a few questions, and then we'll have a challenge from God's Word. So let's welcome the Allen family.
There you go. Oh, bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
What a great joy to be able to come by and give a report here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. I want to say, first of all, thank you so much for the many years of prayers and support that you have partnered with us with. And we were just talking there so many years. You know, we've been with Macedonia World Baptist Missions for 34 years, since 1991, December of 91. And we arrived on the field as missionaries in 95. And so it's been 30 years we've been in the country of Brazil, ministering there. The first part of our work was in the state of Minas Gerais, working with my mom and dad, who were missionaries there for many years as well. And so we spent 2 terms working with them. And then God moved us down further south, Brazil, to the city of Joinville in the state of Santa Catarina. And so we've been there since 2003, working in various works that the Lord allowed us there. The main one, we started in 2003, the Victory Baptist Church. And that's what I'd like to share with you tonight. We, in 2021, we were here in your conference. And just so you to understand what happened there, my dad passed away in 2021, and at my dad's wake, a man that was a good friend of ours, Brother Aker, he was also pastoring a small church here in Georgia, there in Oxford, he approached me and said, "Brother James, the Lord has led me to tell you that I want to help you with a project there in Brazil. What do you have going on?" Well, us missionaries, you know, we have all the answers, right? We know everything that's going on. And the contrary, at that moment, we were seeking the Lord as to what we were going to do going back to Brazil. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And that's how we were praying. We're praying, "Lord, direct our path. We're headed back to Brazil, and we don't know what we're going to do yet. We don't know if we're going to start a new work or what we're going to do." And so when he said that to me, the Lord just gave me peace. And so I said, "Well, the church that we started in 2003, they were given a piece of property by a widow lady, Dona Carminha, right above where we had rented the location, so you could see it from there. And she said, but I want the church to be in my house while I'm still alive. And so they moved the church to her little house, and they fixed the living room there, and about 15 or 16 people could fit inside of there, so they didn't have any room to grow. And you know how Baptists are, right? I mean, we had five benches, and nobody sits on the front bench, right? So the four benches were always full, but the front bench was empty. So 15 or 16 people could be in there, and so they needed a place to grow. And so I told them they need a new building. They need a new building. And I understand that buildings don't save anybody, you know, but what happens inside the buildings transforms lives. You know, people hear the gospel. They hear messages on marriage. They hear all the message of the Word of God, and then they're helped through all of their needs. And so I felt like that was what God would want us to do. And he said, that's what I want to help you with. Get me an estimate, and let's get busy, and I'll start to raise the money, and you just let me know, and we'll work. And so I called Pastor Ricardo, who's the man that I left in charge there. When I turned the work over to him in 2013-14. And so I called him up. I said, there's this friend of ours here, a pastor in the States, wants to help you with a building. Will you accept? And he said, well, let me think about it. Okay, yes. So he was really excited. And so I asked him if we could come back and work with them for the next 4 years at that time. And they were really excited and happy for that. And so we went back and worked with Pastor Ricardo and the church there, and the Lord blessed, and we were able to build this building. And I want to share with you a video about it. I have to narrate it. I prepared this for the church that gave the funds, and that small church, it's not a big, wealthy church, it's a small church. They blessed us with about $98,000 toward this, and a friend of mine from Pennsylvania sent another $3,200, so it was over $102,000 that we got for the building project, and we have a little bit of money left still after the project is finished. And so we're just grateful for that. As far as the building's concerned, right now we're trying to raise an additional $12,000 to put in the elevator. The law in Brazil requires you to have an elevator because of the second floor. And so we need to put, it's not necessarily an elevator enclosed, it's just like a ramp. It's a hydraulic ramp that raises up to the second floor inside the elevator shaft there. And we also had to build a ramp from the street, because you'll see in the pictures that the lot is higher than the street. And so we had to build a wheelchair ramp also that comes from the street, the sidewalk up to there. That's already finished. It's not in the pictures, but it's already finished as well. And we have some other things that need to be taken care of as we go back there. So in May, we plan on going back to the field. My wife, Soraya, and our son, Frank, will be going with us. Of course, my wife's going with me. Amen. But our son, Frank, he'll be the only one going back with us. Our daughter, Stephanie, is 20 now. She started Pensacola Christian College, so she'll be staying here. And, of course, we have Matthew, who's 36. He works at Whirlpool there in Joinville, there where we live. And so continue praying for him. I really appreciate you, Pastor. First thing he said to me was, you know, we're still praying for Matthew, your son. And so continue praying for Matthew that he'll come back to the Lord. And we appreciate that very much. And, of course, our daughter Priscilla, she was married to Kevin, who she met in Pensacola Christian College in 2020. And now we have two grand boys. Praise the Lord. They're such a blessing. And they live in Statesville, North Carolina. Therefore, all roads lead to North Carolina while we're here in the States. And so we enjoy spending time with them. And so we'll be going back in May, Lord willing, and returning to the work there and help Pastor Ricardo with the remaining parts of the construction, and also, of course, the work, his preaching and teaching and doing the discipleship and the witnessing and doing the tract distribution and so forth. All that's entailed in the work of the ministry as well. And maybe for a year and a half, 2 years, we'll be involved in that. So I ask you to pray for this, that the Lord will bless, and we'll be able to do that. We are trying to raise support for that lift. We asked in our last prayer letter for $12,000, and just in the last month, the Lord has sent over half of that. So we thank God for that. It's almost there, and we know that he's going to take care of that as well. Romans chapter 10, and let's read verses 13 through 15. Well-known verses here. Is this too close to my... well-known verses here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm a whosoever. You are a whosoever. We're all whosoever. Amen. Praise God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I think of when my mom and dad went to Brazil in 1971. 1971, they went to the country of Brazil. They didn't speak Portuguese, but God led them there to preach the gospel. And they started churches. They started working in various different locations there in the country. God used them in various parts of the state of São Paulo and other locations as well, and reaching people for the Lord. And then in 1985, they were looking for a new place to minister. And God led them to the city of São Sebastião do Paraíso in the state of Minas Gerais, southeastern Brazil. And there in that city was a young lady and her mom named Soraya and Dona Oraci. And Soraya and Oraci had moved from the big city of São Paulo. São Paulo is the largest city in South America with about 23 million people that live in the metropolitan area. That's about the size of the state of Florida and lives in that one city there of São Paulo. And she had moved in 1984 to the city of São Sebastião do Paraíso. And so in 1985, Mom and Dad went to that city and they opened up the very first Baptist church of that city. First Baptist Church of St. Sebastian of Paradise. And Soraya and her mom came to the church bringing a dear lady friend of theirs who they called Grandma. They were very good friends. And she was a Christian. And she had believed in the Lord. She was saved. And for Soraya and Oraci, it was a good deed. They were looking for God. They were looking for a God that would serve their purpose, that would help them in their difficult times that they were passing, and that would help them to have a favor with God. And so they took Grandma to church, to her kind of church, when they saw this new church building that had started there. And so in that church, they heard the gospel for the very first time. They heard the preaching of the gospel. My dad had made a pulpit in the form of a cross, and he would stand there and preach the gospel. He had a blackboard behind it, and he would explain things and write things out. And he would put in there even the page number of where you could find the location in the Bible, because they didn't even know that Bible. The Bible had chapters and different books, and so he would teach through his messages. And so hearing the gospel for the first time, God started dealing in their heart, and he was already calling them to himself, and so started dealing in Soraya and Oraci's heart. And about the fourth time after they heard the preaching of the gospel there, they finally came front and said, "Lord, God, Pastor, we want what you have. We want the Jesus. We want Jesus to go home with us. We want him with us all the time." And so, of course, Dad explained to them how to be saved, and they trusted in Christ to be saved. And that's the story of so many people around the world. God sends a man and a family to different parts of the world to take this precious book and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others can hear the message of salvation. For whosoever, that's a Soraya, that's a Oraci, that's Adair, and so many others that need to hear the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then the question comes, how then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? You see, Oraci and Soraya were Roman Catholic by religion, but also they were Spiritist. And so they had various beliefs. They were blinded by Satan and didn't know the truth. And so they were in their own beliefs and in their own righteousness. As we read here in Romans, it talks about folks going to trying to find God according to their own knowledge and according to their own righteousness. And so we're seeking God in their own righteousness. But we know that the righteousness of God, he provided salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he is the way of salvation, the only way of salvation. And so they need to call upon him. And how are they going to call upon him if they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him if they have not heard? If they've never heard. You see, they had never heard an explanation of the gospel. They have never heard someone take the Bible and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. She was 16 and her mom was in her 30s. And so they had never heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm so thankful that God sent a missionary named Philip and his wife Charlotte and their four children to Brazil to preach the gospel to that place and to those people, that Soraya and Orasi could hear the message of salvation. Amen. And I'm so thankful for churches like you that support them and pray for them and send them the financial need that they have as well, so that they can be there. And you have a part in my wife and my mother-in-law's salvation. That abounds to your account because you supported mom and dad, that this church supported mom and dad for years. And so just very grateful for that, for how you have been a part in our lives for so long. So how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And so that is the work of missions. That's the work of missions around the world. The missionary that God calls goes to where God sends him, and the local church supports and helps them to go where God has called them to go. And so we partner together in this work of missions so that others might hear the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I challenge you, church, to continue to give and to pray for missions and the work around the world that your church is involved in, and be involved here as well. Amen. This is a mission field as well. You're Jerusalem that needs to hear the gospel. The United States needs Jesus. Amen. So what I and what I see, they needed Jesus. But guess what? Athens needs Jesus. Georgia needs Jesus. Amen. Everywhere you go, people need the Lord. And so let us be busy with the work of missions, with the work of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other way of salvation. Amen. And so he is the only way. So how shall they hear without a preacher? We must preach. We must teach. We must live a life that shines the love of Jesus Christ. How shall they call upon him? They must hear, and they must have a preacher to preach to them. Amen. So I thank you, church, for the opportunity to come by and report of the work there and give this challenge. May we be challenged to do more for the Lord in the coming years, not less. Amen. Not less, but more for his honor and glory. Thank you, Pastor.